Well, the Bible indicates that those touched by the Spirit of God will be witnesses of His truth to the whole world. And the Gospel of Luke ends with these words from Christ in Luke 24. And I want to read those to you as we endeavor to study today the topic of witnessing in these last months. In Luke 24, verse 45, we read, "Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus it is written that thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Then again, we read in Acts chapter 1, so let's turn to that as well, in verse 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Yet, as you go out into the streets with tracts, or into the living room with a friend, or out onto the deck with a family member or a friend, and you discuss these things of the Bible with them, as you understand them today, especially these last days, you invariably will face resistance to the strange doctrine that you're proposing in these last days. Someone recently wrote me and asking, and I'm going to quote her letter to me, "How long do we patiently take these rebuffs, but continue to place ourselves in a position to discuss the information? When should we stop discussing it with people and commit it to God in prayer only?" I end the quote there. That was a great question. I was intrigued by the letter. And as this person wrote me, asked for encouragement in witnessing in these last days, understanding the timeline of history and recognizing the strange doctrine that you would be proposing to people as you share it with them and you talk to them. So she did ask here, you know, how long do you continue to put yourself out there in this position with certain people? And when do you just leave it to God in prayer and commit it to Him and leave it be? Or do you not? So, and she genuinely was interested in what the Scriptures have to say about that particular emotion that you feel. Well, I think one of the answers is found in Luke chapter 9. So let's go there and see what the Scriptures say in Luke 9, verse 1 through 6. We begin in verse 1. "Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And He said to them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money. Neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you," so listen up, this is answering her question, "whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." So here Jesus is telling us that whoever won't receive you, you're to shake off the dust from your own feet as a testimony against them. Now the key question is, what does it mean for people not to receive you? What does He mean by that statement? Well, let's take a look. There's a lot of different ways you can be received as you witness the gospel. A lot of you hand out tracts, or you share with friends or colleagues at work or family members. And if you really believe that the end of the world is coming in 2011, you're apt to be talking about this with people you care about, naturally. If you knew 9/11 was going to happen, you would have been remiss in not warning people that it was getting ready to be executed by the perpetrators who planned to take the towers down. So you're in a situation now which is magnifold more in scope in what's going to happen on May 21st, 2011. So you're sharing this with people. What does it mean for people not to receive you? Well, let's take a look at a couple examples of how that can be received when you share this information with people. The first could be, you might have certain people that are politely listening to you. They might take a tract that you hand them. but not really be interested. Now, is that not typical of a lot of people? You later talk to them and they appear more and more uncomfortable as you bring the topic up. They were polite at first, so you maybe continue to discuss things, or maybe the next time you see somebody or the topic comes up and you bring it up again. But eventually you can tell they get very uncomfortable. Well, that's fine at that point to leave it be. You know, you're not given an injunction in the scriptures to continue to hound somebody and drill it into them and shove it down their throat, so to speak. So naturally, you've done your job. You've exposed somebody. If they're interested, they'll let you know. They'll ask you questions. They'll seem more intrigued. How about another situation where you might be aggressively berated by someone you're attempting to witness to? That's possible. Now, this is where you're to shake off the dust from your feet. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 9. When they will not receive you, you're to shake off the dust from your feet. You may be aggressively, as I said earlier, berated because of what you believe in and what you're trying to speak about. Now, there's no need to continue there, of course, unless that individual or those group of people approach you later and they open up the topic again. Then naturally you're wide open to reintroduce the topic. But you may face that as you prepare to go on a trip to Brazil. 14 of you are going to be doing that in 2 short weeks from now. And who knows what you're going to be met with. You may have 95% open hospitality, acceptance of everything, or you may have a few people, or you may have some authorities that are really, really resistant to what you're trying to do, especially if it's in a particular church that's very dominant down there. And that seems to be an area where you may possibly, and people here who do it in Philadelphia receive that kind of response when they're outside of certain churches, naturally. Now, again, you're to shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Does that mean you went into the wrong spot? No. That simply means, remember Jesus said, if you're not received, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So God is doing that. He's driving that encounter with somebody, no matter how you're received or not. And he's going to get his own purposes accomplished through that. How about another example where the issue where someone else persists at challenging you on your current beliefs, and they bring it up, they seem to demean you for what you believe. That could very well happen too. You know, it could be family members who think you're crazy, and especially if you're younger and you have a, you know, your parents might be saying, come on, you know, you're in a cult. You may be, you're brainwashed. Or your friends might think that, and they might want to, you know, just avoid your company. But here's where you need to be very patient and loving and maintain a humble attitude. Because it's not right to get angry with somebody about it, even if they continue to persist. And you don't talk to them anymore about it, but they keep hounding you. Why are you doing this? Why do you believe this? Why do you have this stuff on your car? Why do you hand these tracts out? Why are you going to that fellowship? Why do you listen to that radio station? Well, the Bible tells us to maintain patience and loving spirit in 2 Timothy. So let's go there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at a few verses of encouragement today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read starting in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So, you know, the striving issue, be careful here, but he's talking about not striving words to no profit, but that to the subverting of the hearers. So you got to be well-versed. You should be well-versed in the scriptures so you're able to resist the gainsayers. If you are challenged intellectually in a debate or, for instance, in a discussion with somebody, be ready always to give an answer to those who ask you for the reason of the hope that's in you. Verse 15 continues, study. So how are you going to know? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're to study the word of God. One reason to study is not just for your own benefit, but so that you can share with others. And you can give, Paul did that. He was a master at that. understood the scriptures so well, and he was able to really resist gainsaying amongst even the most intellectual of his time, including the philosophers, the Greek philosophers, and when he was there in Athens. Well, look at verse 24, same chapter. And the servant of the Lord, now remember this, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So you see, you're in meekness, you're instructing. You're not hammering somebody over the head with things, but you're meekly and humbly sharing the truth with anybody and everybody you meet. And that's the way to do it here. We're not to strive. And don't be afraid of what you're going to encounter out there. You never know when you go out who you're going to meet, right? How many of you go out and pass out tracts? A lot of you do that to strangers, total strangers on the street that you have no idea whether somebody's going to be accepting. They might reject you. They may actually tell you to get lost or get off the property, or they may call the police. You don't know. Ashley was telling me a story yesterday where she was out preparing for the Brazil trip and went to a lake and was going to pass out some tracts, and very apprehensive, alone, going by herself. And then she wasn't sure, and she was a little tense about it. And then the first person she's handed a tract to is an older fella, and he gets the tract from her and he goes, "You know what? I listen to family radio." And here she's out in the middle of the boondocks in New York, where they think nobody else is listening to family radio, and there's no fellowship out there or anything. And you never know who you're going to run into. You never know who you're going to encounter. She had a nice long chat with the fella. Now, that's a blessing, right? What a great blessing that was, even though you were scared before you went there and apprehensive. But God bless you because you did. You see, what an encouragement that is. So remember that when you go to Brazil. You have no idea who you're going to meet during that 10 days that you're out there, you guys who are going. That's going to be a fantastic opportunity. You may touch hundreds and thousands of people right at the heart, or there may be a few. You never know. You may hand out thousands and thousands of tracts, and God may use a lot. He may use the Bibles that you hand out. You never know. So therefore, you're just ready, but you're humble, you're meek, you're consistent in your attitude, and not discouraged no matter what the response. That's the key. No matter how you are received, you're not discouraged. You're consistent each and every day, not getting down. And not getting too high when you do receive good response, because you know that next day it might be a little bit different. Well, let's continue on. What should you expect in these last times? Because that's really the focus of this letter that I received, these last times, in particular witnessing about the timetable and the fact that the end is coming. Well, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now verse 8 of the same chapter. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity or love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Listen to this, especially if you receive any persecution when you're out there with family and friends, or if you're in Brazil in 2 weeks, or any track trip in the future. Listen to what he says here. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord did what? He delivered me. He delivered me. Yea, and in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So expect it. Expect it. Expect some type of persecution. It's going to happen. Now, you're not going to be burned at the stake. You're probably not going to be thrown in jail here. You might in Brazil. I don't know what's going to happen down there. I would doubt it, but you never know. But the persecutions come, but here the Lord delivered Paul out of them all. And so, too, expect that God will be with you no matter what you're doing. If you're doing his work, he's going to be with you. So be encouraged about that. Well, let's take a look at, as we transition now into this topic and this answer to this woman who wrote me about witnessing in these last days, how far do you go? What instruction do we have in the Bible? We have great biblical examples of men and women who witnessed God's word and received certain responses. So let's take a look at some of the forebears that have gone before us and what's happened to them. Remember King Hezekiah? Well, let's go back to 2 Chronicles and take a look at one thing. You're saying to me, did he witness? How did that happen? Well, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30 in the Old Testament. And in verse 1, we're going to pick up in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. So how did the king send out this message? Look at verse 6. So the posts, they're like messengers. That's where we get the word postman today for a mailman. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. So here's how Hezekiah sends this message, that they're to keep the Passover unto the Lord. So it's a godly thing. He wants the whole nation to do this for God's sake. He's a God-fearing king. Guess what happens? Look at verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. This is the message that the postmen were delivering to the nation at this point in time in Judah. Hezekiah was sending this message out, and that's what he was saying there. Don't be stiff-necked. Serve the Lord your God, that his wrath, the fierceness of his wrath would be turned away. Look at verse 9. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But here's the resistance, though. Here's what the response was from the people under King Hezekiah's reign. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Sound familiar? Have you ever been laughed at with this strange doctrine of today? Have you ever been scorned upon? Nevertheless, various of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Nevertheless, remember that. There still were people who humbled themselves through this message. So encourage yourself. If you're out there, Greg was telling us a story at dinner this week, where they were out in Reading recently, and there was Jehovah's Witness convention. And he said literally for one half an hour, him and the boys were out there passing out tracts, and not one tract was received. Not one. It was a Sunday. Not one. That's hard to do for a half an hour with constant rejection. These people are very focused, obviously, and they probably knew what they were up to, and they did not go near him. And they all shook their head and said no. So, and even, I mean, that's resistance to the utmost. But the Bible says here, even if you're laughed to scorn, nevertheless, there will be some who will humble themselves. So even though that was a bad day, so to speak, it was still a witness, a testimony against them of the truth of the Bible. Remember that when you're in Brazil. If you have a bad day, remember this verse 11. Nevertheless, there still were divers or various people who humbled themselves before God. So be encouraged. Be encouraged because God has his people. Don't give up, no matter what the answer, resistance, response may be. How about Jesus himself? Was he received with open arms, though he was the best preacher? He was the most perfect deliverer of the word of God, because he was the word of God himself. Look at John 6 and look what happened there. Remind yourself of this too. John 6, when you're with friends, when you're with family, people who love you, your children, your parents, whoever they may be. John 6, verse 58. Jesus said, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eats of this bread shall live forever. Christ is speaking about himself. These things said he in the synagogue, and he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it?
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" There's the key point there. Jesus was giving them hard doctrine, and he said, "Does this offend you? Are you afraid of telling somebody the truth because it might offend them?" Well, let's see what happened after he said that. Go to verse 64. "But there are some of you," Jesus said, "that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Even though it was a hard saying, he did not resist. He did not hesitate to give it, to speak it, no matter what the consequence. And here, from that time, many of the disciples went back and would no longer hear it. That's going to happen. That happened in Jesus' day. It's happening today. It's not popular. The truth is usually never popular. But stay encouraged. How about in Acts chapter 6? Let's look at another biblical example of witnessing where the response could be, you never know. You never know what you're going to be up against, but take encouragement from these men who went before us in history. Acts 6, verse 9. Who am I going to be talking about? What great saint? Stephen, you're right. Let's look at verse 9 of Acts 6. "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Is that something to pray for when you're going to go out to witness? Ask God for the spirit and the wisdom to speak his word. Verse 11. "Then they suborned men which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law.'" So you see what happened? He was speaking truth. He was witnessing the Christian truth of Jesus Christ, who had not that long before risen from the dead. And now false witnesses are being set up to set him up for the inevitable persecution, which was, what happened to Stephen? Death. He was stoned to death. Look at verse 57 of the same chapter. After all this, look what happened in verse 57. "They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him." And stoned him, and he died. So that's what happened. But he didn't hesitate to speak the truth before this all happened, even though false witnesses were set up. Most of us, if not every one of us, will never face that quite of a severe consequence to witness the truth of the gospel. So we have it made, don't we? Don't get discouraged. Think about Stephen, if you're ever discouraged when you're out there trying to be a witness to your family, to friends, to colleagues, or to strangers in a foreign land or here in the city or in your neighborhood. Don't ever be discouraged, because our forebears had it much worse. Look at Paul in Acts 28. This will be our last example today in Acts 28 of a few biblical role models who faced a lot of resistance and disappointment and persecution. Acts 28, verse 23. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God," excuse me, "persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Who's this speaking about? This is speaking about Paul. Paul. And continue reading. "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." Do you get discouraged if not everybody can understand and believe you? If you show them the timeline of history and they don't get it? Don't get discouraged. Some will believe it. Some will understand it. And some may not. That's okay. That's what happened here with Paul when he was speaking from morning till evening in the last couple years of his life. Some believed, some believed not. And look what verse 25 says. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, if you're going to Brazil, listen to this, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. If you get discouraged handing out the gospel today, here on America's soil, be encouraged by the potential overseas. If you're one of the 14 people going to Brazil in 2 weeks, be encouraged by the fact that verse 28 says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. There may be a great harvest out there. You don't know. But God may very well be sending you there for that very reason. Get excited about it. Because God has a reason why you're going. And be encouraged and be optimistic that there will be many people reached for the truth of the scriptures and the fact that the end is near and that they may cry out to God for mercy. Well, let's close with a thought. It's nice to summarize a study that we have a topic, in this case, witnessing in the last days. Is there a passage in scripture that really says it well? As I encourage you, as you go out from here today, whether you're going to go out to your neighborhood, your family, or to a foreign people in a few weeks, look at 2 Timothy 4, and we're going to close with this in 2 Timothy 4. I want to start with verse 1 and read through verse 8. Verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, as the time of my departure is at hand. We only have a short time left. We're all in the same boat now. There's only a short time left. I have fought a good fight, Paul said. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love also his appearing. Be encouraged. May God give each and every one of us the grace, the strength, the zeal to witness his word and his truth as he gives us opportunity. Amen. Well, does anyone have a comment or question before we break? Why don't we take the next 15 minutes and we'll take a break, and we'll have a study at 11:30 for our second one of the day, and we'll have lunch following and a few announcements and prayer requests and the beginning of our 11:30 study. Thanks for your attention today. Allison Warden. Allison Warden, I don't know if you know her.
I know her through email. She's in like a couple of the groups, like Latter Rain. Oh, okay. We started another group time or so.
When's the Bible conference?
That's there. It's August 16th,
good.
Friday through Sunday.
Perfect.
I had 13 people. Did you get an update?
I thought Harold said 14. Maybe I'm wrong.